like if you would turn with me, dear friends and hearers, to three passages of Scripture. The first in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, towards the end of verse 22. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth at mercy seat through faith in his blood. And then in chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus our Lord, who has been delivered for our offences and has been raised for our justification, it will be reckoned. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access by faith into this favour in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And finally, in the Epistle to Titus, in chapter 2, and verse 11, for the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared, teaching us that, having denied impiety and worldly lust, we should live soberly and justly and piously in the present course of things, awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. It's probably obvious from the scriptures I've read that desire to speak of the grace of God. I feel very challenged as to what I can say about the grace of God, but the grace of God has been made manifest, and we sung in our hymn that it knows no limit. Wonderful opportunity we have in these present days to know something of God's grace towards us. What a God he is, and what a person we have to present in the glad tidings. Someone said to me recently, dear soul said to me, I love a Christ-centered gospel. What a challenge that is. What other gospel could we preach but a Christ-centered gospel? I desire that the result of our time together here tonight, that every heart and soul may be focused on our blessed Lord Jesus, for the man of God's choice, the man of his anointing, the man by whom his grace has been set forward. So I read in these scriptures because it gives us the background to the gospel. Chapter 3 of Romans speaks about the universal end of man. Someone said earlier today that there are good people, but Romans 3 tells us there is none good. There's not even so much as one. Every one of us has sinned against God. People do tend to measure themselves against other people. I suppose naturally we're like that. But God has tested man to every extreme, and he's found wanting and failed. And so we are all under the judgment of God. And we deserve hell, we deserve death and destruction. But God isn't a God of that. Like that, he's a God of grace and of love. And he's provided a saviour for his creature. And tonight, everybody alive in the world tonight could call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. I hope that everyone here in this room has already done so. I expect most here, if not all, have heard the gospel many times. Maybe we all are familiar with its terms, but are we familiar with the person of whom the gospel speaks, of the Lord Jesus himself? It's what God wants to establish tonight in your soul as a living relationship with his son, the Lord Jesus. You cannot come to God through any other way. No one comes to the Father unless by me, Jesus said. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And he wants to fill your heart and your soul and give you peace tonight. And so these scriptures help us into understanding the way that God has operated, the way that God has moved. Because if God hadn't moved, we'd all be condemned. But God in his grace has moved out towards man The Epistle of the Romans begins with the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we stand here tonight to speak of this glorious person who is the Saviour that God has presented, who wants to be your Saviour. I know he's a Saviour of many in this room. I trust he is a Saviour of all. But I do not know your heart where you stand before a holy and righteous God. But God in his mercy wants you to turn to Jesus tonight and find peace and joy in believing in his Son. And so he says here that all have sinned. What a statement that is. All have sinned. And there's nobody that's going to stand up tonight and say, I've never offended or sinned, never sinned against God. When you see what God has said in his word as to what sin is, it's disobedience, it's lawlessness against him. And there's nobody that can challenge that. And it says, and come short of the glory of God. God has a standard, there's a mark. In a race, if we don't get to the finishing line, we come short. We cannot come up to God's standard of holiness and his mark of glory. We've all fallen short. So what a state that is. Where does that leave men today? They've come short of the glory of God. But we have here, but come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Tonight, you can be justified. You can be set in the presence of God with every charge removed from you, freely by his grace. Well, we often say in the gospel it's free, but it isn't without cost. It has cost God everything that you might be justified freely. What a cost it has been to the blessed God in the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus. What a sacrifice he accomplished on that cross when he came here to suffer and to die. Think of the movements of Jesus as coming into this world. We love to speak of the incoming of Christ as a babe. Think of him coming in and finding there was no place for him, no room for him in the inn. Think of him growing up and think of him becoming a man here upon this earth. And when he started his public service and his movements of mercy and grace towards men, never been a man like Jesus, never been the effects of healing that's seen when Jesus was here. But think of him moving every footstep of his pathway here, moving him to that cross of shame where he knew he had there to suffer the just for the unjust, where there to be a basis, a means whereby man could come back to his God. What a life of Jesus it was, but a life, as I say, where he knew that he'd have to meet the judgment of God against sin, because all has sinned and come short, but we can be justified freely by his grace. It's a wonderful thing to speak of the grace of God. It's unmerited favour. It's not that we deserve anything. We deserve absolutely nothing. But God is a God of love. He's a God of hope. And he loves to bless, and he's wanting to bless you in your life. And he's provided a way whereby you can be blessed. And it's been justified freely through his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That is, the price has been paid. Redemption means buying back something that belongs to himself. There is a price that has to be paid for redemption. In the old days with the slaves, someone had to buy the slave and buy them back. And this is the idea that man is a slave to sin. And yet God has moved in his grace and he's paid the price that you might be set free from that bondage of sin that you've been brought into. Oh, dear friend, I would like to bring upon our hearts tonight the great conviction in our hearts of what we are as sinners before a holy and righteous God. Do not measure yourself by man's standards or by the world's standards. Measure yourself by God's standards. And God is a holy God. He cannot abide sin. He cannot have it in his presence. And yet God, he wants to have you in his presence. He wants to have man in his presence. And that's why he's operated in this way, that he has given his Son that you might come into his presence, one that can be justified freely by his grace through redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. And that, my friend, is the cost. That is the price, his blood. He set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. Yes, the blood is such an vital and important part of the gospel preaching. The death of Jesus was an enormous thing. When Jesus there and hung on that cross, he bore the judgment of God against sin. 3 hours of darkness when God clothed that scene and poured out his wrath and judgment, the wrath and judgment deserved by each one of us, and yet was poured out on the head of Jesus. And there, my friend, he suffered and gave up his life. And then the soldier came and pierced his side, and the blood of Jesus was poured out from his side. My blood poured out for you, he says, but his blood was shed, the basis of blessing for men, the price paid. There was a sacrifice in the Old Testament, the blood was needed, was required for God. It was required, you might say, to placate a holy and righteous God. But when it comes to the blood of Jesus, it is the price that has been paid that means is the means of redemption. It is a means of having an approach to God too. We can come to God through the blood of Jesus. So it says through faith in his blood. And then it goes on to say, when I read in chapter 4, Jesus our Lord, who has been delivered for our offences. Yes, think of that. Delivered for our offences. Take it home personally to yourself. It's your sins that put Jesus on the cross. It's my sins that put in there. Delivered for our offences. The offences of man against God. When we think of sin, we trace it back to its originality, to where it came into the Garden of Eden. Think of that moment when man disobeyed God. He said, thou shalt not take of the tree. The day that thou take of it, thou shalt surely die. And Eve and Adam took of the fruit of that tree. And the partaking of that fruit of that tree meant death came upon man. It's passed upon all men. And so we have this great matter of death to face in our hearts and our lives. And it's upon all men, for all have sinned, as I said earlier. And yet, here is a basis, here is a means by that we can be redeemed, we can be brought back to God. It has been delivered for our offences, but it's been raised for our justification. You know, it's a great matter in the course of Christian history, you might say, of the testimony, justification by faith. That great moment, that great time came when a man realised that by having faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus, he could be justified. You cannot pay for your sins. You cannot work your way into salvation. You can be justified freely by his grace. You can be justified because Jesus has been raised from amongst the dead. Yes, Jesus died. How real and solemn the death of Jesus is. Because that was the moment on this earth where men said, we will not have this man to reign over us. They chose Barabbas, who was a robber, and they delivered up Jesus to die on a cross. Oh, what a shame upon this world's history that's never been reversed, never been put right, apart from in the hearts of myriads of believers. Are you one of them? Can you count yourself in the host of the redeemed? I thank God by his grace that I can. And I realise it was nothing to do with me. I did not deserve it. But he has spoken to me through his glad tidings and through his grace. Reached my heart. And he wants to reach your heart tonight. He wants your heart, dear young person. He wants your soul, your life, your all. And so God, in his wonderful way that he's operated, that there might be this way back to him. And he now presents Christ as as the Saviour tonight, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, let us take our place as sinners. Let us acknowledge what we are before God, that we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his mercy. But here he has provided the way whereby we can be saved. So it says, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God. I wonder, have you got peace towards God? Have you got peace in your soul? Oh, how many search for peace. Many, of course, in their lives, they try to wipe out all these thoughts in relation to God and to what might lie beyond. They live for today. They don't think of tomorrow. And they certainly haven't got peace. But a believer in Jesus can have peace. Certain peace in relation to his past, peace to his present, and peace to his future. And God wants to give you that tonight through the glad tidings and through what's available in his Son. And so we can have peace. It's towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access by faith into this favour in which we stand. Yes, you can have access into the presence of God through Jesus. Come to know the blessed God and what he is, what a saviour God, and the blessing that is available and is open towards you tonight through faith in his Son. Think of the cost, as I said earlier. Think of what it has cost God, that you might be redeemed, that you might be blessed. Think of the Lord Jesus as the one who wants to bless you tonight too, has given himself and the sufferings that he endured on that cross, all that he went through. And think of him as in relation to knowing what was required for the heart of God and knowing what he had to endure in his own body on the tree. You know, Peter could speak of it in such a precious way. He spoke of the Lord and how he suffered and died for him. He could say there in that first epistle, it says, who in himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, in order that being dead to sins we may live to righteousness, by whose stripes ye have been healed. For ye were going astray as sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Well, Peter was one who became greatly affected by what Jesus did for him. But I wonder, are you affected by what Jesus has done for you? Have you been affected by the fact that he was prepared to suffer and die for such a person as you and me? And so we stand and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Well, what an outlook the believer in Jesus has. And I just wonder what effect the grace of God has had upon our hearts and upon our souls. You know, that's why I read in Titus, because Paul is writing this epistle to a young Christian brother, and he's speaking here about what grace teaches. He says, "For the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared." How has the grace of God appeared? It appeared in Jesus. It appeared in Christ when he came into this world. That's how grace has appeared. We cannot come to know God through any other way but through this blessed person. But then he says it teaches us, teaching us that having denied impiety and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and justly and piously in the present course of things. So grace, if we are recipients of grace, is to have an effect upon our hearts and upon our spirits. And as believers in Jesus, there is something to be wrought out in our hearts and souls. He says here, having denied these things, denied impiety and worldly lusts. These things are around us. These things are in us. But having denied them, he says, we should live life soberly, justly and piously in the present course of things. Yes, this world is going on its course. It's going on its course to its doom and to its judgment. How soberly we should think these things at the present time. And those of us that profess to be Christian believers, how do we live in this world? How are we marked by God's grace? Does it have an effect upon us? Does it affect us in our relations with men? Think of how it should teach us these things. So we should live soberly and justly and piously in the present course of things, awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's the outlook, the hope of the believer today, the great appearing and glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Yes, he's coming again. He's coming soon. He's coming for all of those who love him and believe in him. What we call the rapture, how near that is. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you really know that your sins are forgiven? Do you really know Jesus as your personal Saviour? You say, well, I've heard this all my life. Maybe you have, but have you made that step in faith? Have you taken it for yourself? Have you really know what it is to confess your sins to God and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour? You know, we can't trifle with God's grace. We can't just take it and leave it. We will be held responsible for how we have reacted in relation to the grace that's been presented to us. But then what is the hope that you have in your heart? Is it the hope of the appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ? What a moment that will be for Christ, for the Lord Jesus. What a moment that will be for God. What a moment that will be for the world when he appears to set all things right. Think of the moment that he comes in. This world will see him. It says that every eye will see him. Every eye is going to see Jesus. When he comes on the clouds of great power and glory. And when he's going to deal with the whole matter of good and evil on this earth. When everything will be subjugated to him. Every authority, every man, every principality will be made to bow to Jesus. This is the wonderful person of whom the gospel is about. We don't speak about ourselves. Paul says that we don't speak of ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. To a world that's a spectacle. The man on the cross. Oh, what a thing it was. And the preaching, you might say, is to Jews, it's an offence. And to Greeks, it's foolishness. Unless God works, to a man in the world, it seems foolish to speak of a man who died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And yet through the foolishness of the gospel, that's how God wants to reach men. It's not through man's wisdom. It's not through your understanding or knowledge. It's not because you can read the Bible and understand it that you're saved. It's by having faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and his finished work. This is the only basis. And this blessed person is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and will be universally acknowledged. Oh, I'm longing for that day when we shall see him just when he shall be glorified and he will have his rightful place. And you know what's going to happen? His saints are going to come with him. You're a believer on Jesus, you're going to come with him when he comes to set things right upon this earth. Is that your hope? Is that your outlook? Oh, I trust, dear friend, that tonight you might be affected by the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men. For all men, isn't it wonderful? Most things in life and society here, there's always some exclusion, isn't there? But with God, it's available to all. But it's towards all, but it's upon all who believe. And whether you're prepared to confess Jesus your Saviour, to bow the knee now, is what God is working at in the glad tidings today. If you don't bow now, you will have to bow on a coming day. You will have to bow, all will have to bow to Jesus. But God wants you to bow tonight. Simply tell him from your heart that you love him and you ask for his forgiveness and you ask for his mercy. Well, may it be your portion, dear friend and dear hearer. May God's grace have an effect upon you at this time. And may each heart here be finding their joy and life in the Lord Jesus himself, finding all joy and peace in believing. May it be your portion for his name's sake.
Amen.